Good morning. This is the third sermon in this series, Modern Day Parables. The church is like a spiritual tailor shop. So we compare the church to a tailor shop, and we are trying to understand and appreciate some spiritual applications as we think about what it's like going to a tailor. When you go to a tailor shop, they specialize in three things. They will do some creating. They will make you a brand new suit, brand new dress, brand new outfit. That's what they do. But they also specialize in alterations. They will make sure that sometimes when things don't fit, or if you buy something off the rack, you can come in and you can have it tailored to fit your specifications. They also specialize in restorations. Sometimes things get damaged and you bring them in and they're able to restore those particular garments. And so we recognize that the church is much like a tailor shop because the church also specializes in these same three areas. At some point, everyone who comes into the church are going to need one of these particular things that the church specializes in. Every once in a while, you come in, you're going to need some alterations, you're going to need some restorations, but everyone who comes in absolutely has to be made new. And so what we tried to show from the outset is the role of the Holy Spirit, the role of the Father, the role of the Son. And the first thing we did was show that when you come into the tailor shop, the role of the Holy Spirit is to take your measurements. He's going to measure you. He's going to measure you by an absolute perfect standard. And that standard is that canon, that rule, Galatians 6:16, that standard of the Word of God that determines our faith and our practice. And he's going to get it right every single time because it is an exact standard. Now, it doesn't matter how you measured yourself prior to it or what particular standard you used. The Holy Spirit is going to get it right, and he's going to get it right because of the Word of God. And not only that, he's going to place you right in front of a mirror, because that's what they do when they bring you into a tailor shop. They not only take your measurements, they put you in front of a mirror so you can see it for yourself. And so when you come into the church, the Holy Spirit will take your measurements by the word that he gave, and he also will allow the word to cast a reflection upon you so you can see exactly how you're looking. And the reason you're in there is because you want to look new, because you want something fitted to you. You want to look more presentable. And so therefore you came in because you have been marred and because you had been damaged. And now you want to look brand new. And so we recognize that. And we recognize also the Father's responsibility is to create you new. He's going to create you in righteousness and true holiness and robe you in the righteousness that is of Jesus Christ. And then yesterday on part two, we showed Christ's responsibility in the tailor shop. When you come into the church, Christ is going to do the alterations. That's who you have to see. Why? Because you need to be conformed to his image. And everyone who comes into the tailor shop from time to time, we need some alterations because we need to be more and more conformed to look more and more like Christ. And it is an ongoing thing that we do day in and day out as we continue in the tailor shop. This morning, we want to look at the third part of this series. The church is like a tailor shop, but now we want to look at our responsibility in the tailor shop. What is the church's responsibility in the tailor shop? Look with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and let's go to verse number 10. The Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had ordained before that we should walk in them." He says, "We are his workmanship." That is the Greek word poema. It means that we are a product. It literally means a fabric, something that is made. In other words, God created us for good works. And so we are members of the bodies working in the tailor shop, if you will, and our responsibility are to do the restorations. We're going to have to fix some things. We're going to have to repair some things. We're going to have to restore some things. In other words, my friend, when there's loose buttons and things like that, we're going to have to tighten those up. When there are patches or there are holes, we're going to have to patch them up. When there are some things that is coming loose, we're going to have to stitch them up. That is our responsibility in the tailor shop. So, my friends, when you come to the body of Christ, you come to the church of Christ, you need to see the church for your restorations. Clothes sometimes can be repaired. They can be restored to good use. And we recognize that sometimes you have an article of clothing that is old. You've had it for a long time. But how many of us have some of those favorite articles of clothing and we've had them for a long time, but we don't want to let them go? But over time, they get damaged. Over time, they need some repairs. And rather than throw it away and discard it, we'd rather take it and have it restored. Well, that's what happens in the tailor shop. We can represent that damaged clothing. Sometimes those among us will go out from us and they will become damaged again. Obviously, we all have had our bout with sin, and we know what sin can do. We've all been damaged by sin. That's why we came to the tailor shop in the first place. Sin is like a drug. Jesus says that sin actually enslaves. When he spoke to the Jews in John chapter 8, he says, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin. And when he puts the ETH on that word, when we look at the King James Version, that means continuous action, which means whosoever continues to sin, he becomes the slave, the servant of sin. And sin is what brought death into the world. That's what Paul states in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. He said, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. And we recognize where sin leads. It leads to eternal damnation. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And we're thankful to God for the second part of that verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We came to the tailor shop because sin had marred us, because sin had damaged us, because sin had messed us up to such a degree that we needed literally to be made brand new. That's why when you first come to the tailor shop, God doesn't restore us. God doesn't mend us. God creates us brand new because sin has so damaged us and so marred us. That's exactly what had to become. That's exactly what had to happen. We needed to become a new creation. But there are other times when sometimes as we are in this tailor shop along the way, we need some alterations. And we know that because many of us who's been in the church for any length of time have had to get some alterations. We certainly have had to do that. But then there are those who sometimes go back to that world of chaos and sin and confusion, and they get damaged all over again. And when they come back, they need to be restored. But you know something about the Godhead? It's that the Godhead, just like we like that old piece of clothing that just fits us so well, that's one of our favorite articles of clothing, we don't want to discard it, we don't want to throw it away. That's the way God feels about us when we're damaged by sin. He thinks we're worth being restored. He does not want us to be discarded. He does not want us to be thrown away. God believes that we are worth something. He believes that we are worth being restored. And you think about Jesus' attitude. He told the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 31. And in verse number 17, even that boy that had gone away from his father's house recognized that he was worth something. That's what we want everyone to know who goes out away from us. We want you to know that you are worth something. And you are worth being restored. And that boy came to his senses in Luke 15, 17. The Bible says, and when he came to himself, he had been beside himself, but now he came back to himself. That's the better part of that boy. That's the part that was at his father's house that had learned and had been trained and had been counseled and understood good things and spiritual things that he learned at his father's house. Much the same way we learn from the church. And then you go back out into that world and you change. You become different. You become marred. Your attitude and everything changes about you. And now that better self comes back to you and reminds you that you are worth something, that you have some value, and that you should and need to be restored. And I'm glad that boy recognized that. When you come to yourself, we would hope that anyone who has left out from among us would recognize your value. And that you need to be restored. Here's something you need to realize, though, is that when you go out there, it may be the case that no one comes looking for you. You know, sometimes people go out there and they start to cry at some point and say, well, you know, I was gone and the church didn't even call me. No one came looking for me. No one even checked on me. Well, that's the chance and the risk that you take when you go out there. It may be that no one comes looking for you. And you may have to be just like this boy in that story. His older brother didn't come looking for him. The Father was waiting at home for his return. Now, we know ultimately Jesus came to seek humanity and to save them. But in this particular story, no one came for that boy. He came to his senses. And that's what we're telling you. When you come to your senses, we hope that you will take the initial step to come back home where you belong and make your way back to the tailor shop. The church's part in the tailor shop is to restore the erring. Paul wrote two letters to the saints at Corinth, and I want you to notice what he wrote. In the first letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks about the fact that there was a man who had his father's wife. And he says that thing was so despicable that it was not even named among the Gentiles. And he says, you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that such a one should be taken away from among you. Paul said, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? He said, purge out the old leaven that you might be a new lump. And so Paul said, you need to get him out of here. You need to put him out. But then when Paul writes his second letter in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, sufficient unto one is the punishment thereof. Paul talks about that particular individual, and he says that punishment was inflicted by many. But then he tells them that you need to forgive him and comfort him, lest this person be swallowed up over much sorrow. And he says, wherefore I beseech you that you confirm your love toward this individual. I believe that is the same individual, the one in 1 Corinthians that was put out, and the one Paul says now, you need to bring him back and restore him. Bring him back into the fellowship. Show your love toward this individual. Don't allow him to be swallowed up. You've already inflicted enough punishment on him, and now restore him back to your fellowship. You think about what James said in James 5, 19 and 20. James said, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he was converted the sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. Consider Paul again in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, where Paul said, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He said, bear ye one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let me introduce you to a word here. That word restore is the Greek word katatizo. It is a verb that literally means to complete thoroughly, to repair, to adjust, to mend what is broken or rent. When you come back to the church, to the tailor shop, broken up, torn in pieces, our job is to make sure that we mend you, get you right, restore you so that you can be presentable once again. And let me show you how important it is that we fix people who come back to the tailor shop needing to be restored and needing repairs. The reason we have to do it is because in that reprehensible state, they can no longer be utilized for the master's use. See, because of their reprehensible state, it is in that present state that they need to be mended. They must be mended. If you notice in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 12, that Jesus was going along and he saw James and John and they were with their father Zebedee. And he says, the Bible says that they were in their boats with their father and they were mending their nets. Why were they mending those nets? Because they had been out to sea. And they cast those nets out, and as they pull and drag those nets trying to make a catch, sometimes there's all kinds of things that gets caught in that net that creates snags and tears and holes. And because of that, if they don't mend those nets will no longer be able to be utilized for their purpose. They can no longer serve the purpose to catch fish. How are you going to catch fish if you got holes and snares and tags and everything in your net, and everything is able to swim right through? So when you are out there in this sea of the world, what the world does to our young people and our Christians and our fellow brethren who go out back into that world is they create snags. They create tears in their character, holes in their faith. And they come back after having their heads filled with so many things that they don't know what to believe. I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen it time and time again. Christians who grew up in the faith, people who've been in the church for a very long time and then get out in that world, when that world rips snares and tags in their faith and everything else, they no longer believe in what you believe in and they no longer know what to believe. Not only that, they modify their lifestyle. They no longer live the way they once lived. And in that state, they can no longer fulfill their purpose for Christ. You must bring them to the tailor shop. And because in that state, they need to be mended. When you take your damaged clothing to the tailor, you know the tailor can see the damage. When you come back to the spiritual tailor shop, we can see the damage. You ever seen people who come back and act like they're spiritual? They try to blend right in, and it just seems like they just want to settle in as if everything is all right. And we're sitting here looking at you, and we can see the damage on you. We probably can see it better than you. You listen to their conversation, you see the way they move, you recognize what's going on with them, and they believe that they're blending in, but yet they are actually sticking out like a sore thumb. You see those people come back in, you can see the damage. And that's when you just go ahead and get that thread out. And you just go ahead and thread that needle. Tie that thing up and get ready, because we already know we're going to have to patch some, we got to patch some stuff up. We're going to have to do some stitching. We're going to have to fix some things. And the problem is, with so many people, is when they come back, they don't want to pay the costs associated with the repairs. Imagine going to a tailor and you're taking him a garment that has been damaged, and the tailor is trying to tell you what has to happen, but this person don't want to pay the cost associated with those repairs, and so they're trying to tell the tailor, no, I don't need that, I don't need that. And the tailor is saying, yeah, you need this and you need this, because if I don't fix this, this just is going to tear again, it's going to rip again. And sometimes when people come back to the tailor shop, we're looking at your situation and we're like, who are your companions? You need to get rid of these companions, because if you continue to associate with these individuals, they're going to just keep ripping tears in you and snares and tat, and you're going to need to be stitched up over and over and over again. And a lot of times people don't want to pay the cost associated with those repairs. You see, in your reprehensible state, you need to be mended. In your reprehensible state, you are nothing like your master. That's exactly why we have to mend you. That's exactly why we have to repair you. In Luke chapter 6 and verse number 40, I want you to notice this word. The Bible says the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now that word perfect is again our word katartizo. When you are out in that world and there are holes and snags and tears in your character, in your person, you do not resemble the master. You don't resemble him in words. You don't resemble him in deeds. You don't resemble him in heart. And when you are out there like that, my friends, you need to come back to the tailor shop so that we can restore you. Those of us who stayed, sometimes we need alterations. You know, I think what happens is people go out and they look back at us and they say, well, you know, you guys are not perfect. We know that. We stayed, and we are the ones that need alterations from time to time. We have to be stitched up a little bit. We've got to have some things taken in, some things pulled out, and all those kind of things. We understand that, but we are the ones who stayed. And when I say stayed, I'm not simply talking about we just go to the worship service. I'm talking about we stayed in the community of believers. I'm talking about we stayed in the fellowship of the saints and with God. I'm talking about the fact that we are the ones who stayed, and we are responsible and we are accountable to one another and accountable to God as we stayed in that fellowship, as we continue to walk in the light. And oftentimes we may need some alterations, but we are here. But you decided to leave out and go away from the community of believers, and you went and embraced the community that is in the world. And when you embrace that community that is in the world, then you have the God of this world for your master. And sometimes you need to realize that you need to be restored and you need to be repaired so you can resemble the master again, because in that state, you don't resemble him at all. You see, in your state, you are separated from the mission. There's a mission here and you're separated from it. You're separated from God's people. You're separated from the church. And not only are you apart from us, but you become hostile toward us. How often have people left out of the faith left out of the fellowship, and then talked about the ones who remained and called us hypocrites. Well, you do these things to justify your own bad behavior and your bad decision to leave Christ, to leave the church, to leave his fellowship. But I want you to consider a couple of things. In fact, look at a verse with me, if you will. I want you to appreciate this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's one of the reasons why you desperately need to be restored. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10, where Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, let me ask you, did you see our word there? It's perfectly joined together, katartizo. There's our word again. That word just keeps showing up. Now, if you're in your present state, you are withdrawn. You are apart from the church. You are hostile sometimes even toward the church. However, what the apostle wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, my friends, we need to be of the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, when you consider what he said, he says we need to have the same doctrine, which means we all need to speak the same thing. He said we need to be united, which means there should be no divisions among us. We should be joined together. That means whatever we need to do to mend those things that has caused the division and the split and the divide between us needs to take place so that we can be perfectly joined together. And he says we need to do this in the same mind and in the same judgment, which means we need to be like-minded. That's why you need to be restored. Now, we cannot accomplish what Paul is saying if you're on the outside in the company of unbelievers, in the God of this world as your master, being hostile toward us while we are here in the tailor shop wanting to restore you, but we need to come back together. And whatever has divided us, whatever has caused you to leave, whatever has caused a rent or a tear, and whatever has caused those tears in your hole and holes in your character and in your person, you need to come back. We need to be restored together so we can please the God of heaven. My friends, listen. It's in your present state that you cannot help with maintenance. That's the problem. At some point, you need to help. You see, we must repair, restore, and do restorations because in your state, my friends, you cannot help. You can't help us at all. At some point, you need to be on the other side of the counter. Don't you wish that people would sometimes come and help? Get on the other side of the counter and learn how to thread a needle and learn how to thread a machine and do some repairs and some restoring. Think about what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Paul said, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." He said in verse number 2, "Bear ye one another burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." You need to become the spiritual one who can do some restoring. You need to get in the shop. You need to learn to thread a needle. You need to learn to thread a machine. You need to help some people. In other words, sometimes, my friends, you're the one always stumbling in, always needing repairs, always needing to be stitched up, sewed up, and patched up. Why don't you come at some point, become the spiritual one that can help sew and stitch and patch someone else up? How many times have we seen people go through this terrible cycle? You see, at some point, the reason you can never help with maintenance is because you're always needing maintenance. And people go through this cycle time and time again. You come back after the world rips holes and snares and tags and tears in you. You come back, and then we get you restored. We patch you up. We stitch you up. We get you presentable again. You stay for 3 months, and you're gone for a year. You come back again, and again, the same thing happens. We get you all we get you all sold up again, and then in just a little while, you stay for a month, and then you're gone for six. Have you all seen that? I've seen it time and time and time again. patch you up, cover up the holes, clear out all the debris. You stay for a little while, and then you're gone again. But here's the question that begs to be answered. When are you going to get to the tailor shop and pull your weight? Notice again what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, and we'll drop down to verse number 4 and verse number 5. Paul said, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Not only, my friend, do you have to get to the point where you can help bear someone else's burdens. In other words, help them carry the heavy load that sometimes is against them. Sometimes we all need some help in carrying some of these burdens that weights us down in life. But then there are times when you have to bear your own burdens. And there are some things that no one can do for you. You know, I can't live the Christian life for you. You're going to have to do that. You know, I can't worship for you. You know, we can never call someone on the phone and say, hey, when you go to church today, would you go ahead and worship for me as well? Can't do that for you. Can't sing for you. I can't pray for you. You know, people say, well, pray for me. Why don't you pray for yourself? That doesn't sound right, does it? What I'm saying is sometimes people will tell you to pray for them. Listen, I can pray on your behalf, but I can't pray in your stead. So at some point, you need to get yourself right so you can pray and have that communication with the Father for yourself. Now, I pray on your behalf, but I can't pray for you. I can't get in your stead and pray as if that somehow means a communication between you and God. You're going to have to do that for yourself. You know, I tell people in the world that sometimes when they say, hey, say a prayer for me. I say, you know, why don't you get yourself right with God and you say a prayer for yourself? See, that opens up some dialogue. And I explain to them what I mean. In other words, I can pray on your behalf, and I ask them, I said, now tell me what to say. I literally say this to people, tell me what to say, because I need to know, because, you know, God has given you some responsibility. God has given you a free moral agency, and as a result of that, you've got to make some decisions toward him, and so I can't do that for you. Every man has to carry his own burden. You have to be righteous. You have to be godly. You have to be sober. You have to live the Christian life. You have to worship God. You have to honor him. You have to magnify Christ in your life. You have to read his word. You have to grow. You have to study. All those things you have to do. Every man shall bear his own burden. You've got to get in here. We'll restore you, put you back in the right relationship with God. He'll do everything he needs to do to get that suit looking pristine, just the way he made you at the beginning. You will be forgiven. Christ will make the alterations. The Holy Spirit can measure you again. Whatever needs to happen, it can happen. But you've got to accept some responsibility for yourself. Amen, walls. Listen to the Hebrew writer as he covered something very similar. He said, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And a becomer such as needeth milk and not a strong meat, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to those who are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul says, you should have been here, but you're still back here. I need to give you some meat, but you're still on milk. Enough time has passed so that other people can be appreciating your influence, your teaching. You should be in the point of a teacher. Instead, you're needing to be taught. At some point, you come back to the tailor shop. You need to get on the other side of the counter and help us restore some other folks that always need to be restored. Well, let me ask this. When are you going to stop being a visiting member? Because that's what's happening. You become a visiting member. One who spends most of their time in the world, worldly thinking, doing worldly things, behaving in worldly ways. Then every once in a while, the world will rip a hole in you. The world will tear a snag in you. The world will scare you half to death. And sometimes those folks come running back into the tailor shop. And when they run back, we just get our thread and needle, because we already know. We get ready to stitch, fix, repair, whatever we need to do. We bring you in, we pray for you, we tell you how happy we are to see you, that you have returned to Christ. But listen, we recognize that when you've been out in that world, your dimensions have changed. Because that's what happens to you. And yes, they will change. If you go back out in that world and you spend any time out there apart from the fellowship of Christ, out there apart from the fellowship of the saints, out there apart from spiritual things and from a spiritual diet, and you go out there and start digesting all of that stuff out there with those people, with the God of this world, when you do that, my friends, your dimensions are going to change. You're going to gain a lot of things that you didn't need in your heart and in your mind and in your life. And you're going to lose. See, you gain weight, then you lose weight. You're going to lose a whole lot of things too. A whole lot of those spiritual things that you were taught, a whole lot of those things that was a part of your character and a part of your life when you were in the shop, and you would get alterations all the time and growing and conforming more and more into the image of Christ. You're going to lose a lot of that while you gain a whole lot of other stuff that you didn't need. But let me tell you this, that same Holy Spirit that took your measurements when you first walked into the tailor shop can take your measurements again. That same Holy Spirit can take you and put you in front of that mirror and let it show you exactly what you're looking like. And that same Christ can start doing alterations, get you fitted just right again. That same God that made that suit in the first place can make sure it's right back to its pristine look from the beginning. And the church, we're going to make sure that we do all the necessary repairs, have you right back where you need to be, time and time again. This time, if you come back to the tailor shop, get on the other side of the desk and be a worker for the Lord. I'll share this story with you quickly and then we'll close. There was a lady, well, there's been many, but this one in particular, who came to the congregation and was very worldly. You know, it was very evident. And of course, we knew of some of the things that's going on. And it's one of these people who come and then they off and then they show up again. Their family is faithful, father or the grandfather and the mother and all of them are faithful, but they are just in and out, just worldly, got all these worldly friends and things like that. Talk to them all the time, try to encourage them. Hey, come on, you need to get it together. Come on, that kind of thing. And then finally something happened. And then you're in the hospital. And then they're cutting on you. And then we come to the hospital and we're praying with you and we're praying for you because, you know, we need to be there. And we're there. We encourage you. Get out of the hospital. And now, you know, it's like you're back and they come to the church. I took this particular lady and I went into the office, my office with the elders, and we sat her down. And I told her, I said, listen, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy because you have set up a habit of really not being for the Lord and you're out there in that world. I said, and now something has happened and you're back. I said, here's what I want you to know. You may do it again. You may go back out in that world again. I said, because you probably still have the same friends and all those things that created this stuff in you. You might get caught right back up in that again. I said, but I want you to know our responsibility towards you. We love you. We love you. And I said, I don't care if you go out there 100 times. When you come back that 101st time, we're going to be right here loving you again and again and again. Every time you go out, we're going to be right here. I want you to know, no matter what happens, no matter how many times, we are going to be right back here to receive you with open arms again and again and again. Now, my hope is that you will not allow this to happen to you again. But if you do, just know that there's always a loving church with God's people in it who are here to help bring you back home whenever you decide to come. I said, either get it together, but no matter what, we're always going to be for you. And we want you to know we love you. And you can always come home because this is where you belong. That's our responsibility in the tailor shop. Thank you so much for your wonderful and kind attention.